coming to you again for the Board Appreciation Night. We have an incredible award that we're going to give out tonight. We didn't want to wait. I believe it happened already with the town a couple of nights ago. A young gentleman in our community was recognized, and I've asked Ms. Jean Lamont to come up and present the certificate.
On Friday, October 6th, the town of Brookhaven celebrated their third annual Hispanic Heritage Month program. Approximately 100 seniors from school districts within the town of Brookhaven were honored with Student Academic Excellence Awards. In order to receive these student awards, the student must maintain a 3.7 GPA and be of Hispanic American descent. Among the recipients of the Student Academic Achievement Awards was John Perez, a senior at Central Mauritius High School. Now, I was not supposed to be here today, but his guidance counselor decided to take a medical leave. But I have a few short words from his guidance counselor. John came to us in ninth grade from Hampton Bays. From the first day of school, John always walked by my door and said, "Good morning, Mr. Matt." He always has a smile on his face. John has blended into some religions with ease. He is very happy and appreciative for what he has. John is a humble young man who has high character and high hopes. I am most proud of John because he has a strong work ethic. I say that to say, in ninth grade, John was all in on researching colleges and discovering what he needed to accomplish to make sure he was on target for acceptance into top schools. When we review John's transcript, it is a pinnacle of a great student. John was not excelled in eighth grade. He was not in advanced placement in ninth grade. Instead, John was in Regents level courses in early 90s. In 10th and 11th grade, John earned 90s in Regents with a few AP classes. Now, in his 12th grade year, John is taking about 4 college AP classes. He is a strong scholar, and more importantly, he is a strong ambassador for how to build a successful college readiness program. There is no student on my roster that I am more proud of than John Perez. I watched this young man grow into a productive, amazing, and talented young man. Congratulations to John on this fantastic honor from Brookhaven Town on representing the Hispanic Heritage Academic Achievement Award. On behalf of the Southern Regions Board of Education, our superintendent of schools, Mr. Russell Stewart, our high school principal, Mr. Ed Caswell, and associate principal, Mr. Jerry Thome, it is with great honor that I present to you, John Perez, the Certificate of Academic Excellence Award from the town of Brookhaven.
Outstanding young man like John. I'd like to give a round of applause for his mom who's right here in the second row. And now we begin our Board Appreciation Night. We're going to begin with Clayton Huey, principal.
Thank you so much. And just before we begin our program, I just have to give a shout out. What a pleasant surprise. as it was to see John being honored, because I did not know John before the summer, and he reached out to me and said, I want to do something to provide supplies to students who aren't able to get them for themselves. And so we had a wonderful partnership and working with Helping Nation Happy. John Perez spearheaded getting 25 backpacks loaded with wonderful supplies for our youngsters. So thank you. And now it is my absolute honor, Board of Education, on this very special evening to bring up Ms. Maggie Dorio and the wonderful fifth grade chorus.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Big Green Forest and Miss Florio. And Big Green Forest, please, I'm going to ask some special presenters to come up on this end. So, Board of Education, we know that this role that you have volunteered for, devoted for, it really does take a tremendous amount of time away from those that you love. And you do it because of the people you love. And so we thought that it would be really special that the special little people that you do it for were here to be a very special part of sharing our appreciation with you. So, can I have my team members, please, for the book? And the wonderful Allison Max will be sharing the book with you, while Izzy and Andrew read it.
What do you do with an idea?
One day, I had an idea. Where did it come from? Why is it here? I wondered, what do you do with my idea? At first, I didn't think much of it. It seemed kind of strange, fragile. I didn't know what to do with it, so I just walked away with it. I acted it and didn't do all the things.
But it followed me. I wondered what others would say. What would people say about my idea? I kept to myself. I hid it away and didn't talk about it. I tried to act like everything that was done as it always was before my idea showed up.
But there was something magical about my idea. I had to admit, I felt better and happier when I was around. It wanted food. It wanted to play. Actually, it wanted a lot of attention.
It grew bigger and it became friends. I showed it to other people, even though I was afraid of what they would say. I was afraid that if people saw it, they would laugh at it. I was afraid they would think so. And then they left it. They said it was no good. They said it was too weird. They said it was a waste of time and I will never be home.
And at first,
I believed them. I actually thought about giving up on my idea. I almost listened to them.
But then I realized, what a day you're in there. This is my idea, I thought. No one knows it like I do. But it's okay if it's different and weird and eating a little crazy. I decided to protect it, to care for it. I fed it with food, I worked with it, I paid with it. But most of all, I gave it my attention. My idea grew and grew and so grew up.
I built a new house, one with an open roof directed up at the stars, a place where it could be safe to dream. I liked being a my idea. It made me feel more alive, like I could do anything. It encouraged me to think big and then to think bigger. It shared its secrets with me. It showed me how to walk on my hand. Because it's like it is good to have the ability to see things differently. Imagine my life without it.
Then one day, something amazing happened. My idea changed right before my very eyes. It spread its wings, took flight, and burst into the sky. I don't know how to describe it, but I went from being here to being everywhere. It wasn't just a part of me anymore. It was now a part of everything. And then I realized that you can do
it. You changed the world.
District where ideas flourish and dreams take flight. As a result of your commitment and support, thank you for all you are doing to change the world. Happy Board Appreciation 2016 from the Kate Key Family.
Thank you, Mama. Wonderful. Rayburn will give each board member their very own book. So truly, thank you so much, and know that everything you do certainly, indeed, changes the world. Thank you. At this time, it is my pleasure to bring up our officers in SECTA with RJ. We have Mrs. Morgan Larson and Mrs. Singerson here to represent SECTA.
You do for us from SECTA and the middle school 1811 classes.
Smile from year to year, and that was 4 years ago, and he hasn't ceased smiling. And it is true. He comes by every day and says hello. Good morning, Mrs. Gallier. Good morning, Mr. Caswell. And he goes so far above and beyond, and he epitomizes, you know, what we wanted our children as they go through the system and take advantage of the great programs that the districts have to offer. And he's going to really soar like an eagle at Red Devil when he graduates from Senator Richards High School. So, hey, can we give another round of applause for John Caswell? One of the many programs we have in our school, the high school, is not necessarily an academic program, more like a life skills, if you will. And it's our Community Service and Involvement Program, and the initials are CSIP, at the acronym. And 7 years ago, when we first unleashed this to the community, I can be able to frank with you that, you know, it wasn't embraced by every single person saying, why on earth are we making kids do things outside the classroom in order to graduate high school? 7 years later, it's not an issue. It's part of our culture now. And for some kids, frankly, it may be like, well, I need 22 credits to graduate, I got to take 4 years of English, and I got to do my thesis. But for a lot of our kids, they go way above and beyond the minimums. And they're graduating with 32 credits and college credits. And the CSIP points that they're supposed to build, they don't even count the points. I mean, I think 40 is the requirement. Some of our kids are graduating with 400, 4,000 points, for all we know. So what we try to do every year, every September actually, at the start of school, really kind of jumpstart of the year, we recognize all the kids that went way above and beyond their CSIP requirements. And we have a little celebration at home, breakfast. And more importantly, we share out all the things that these students did to earn this distinction of being in the CSIP 100 plus point club. It's the kids that go above and beyond. And inherent in every story, because they were telling the stories at the celebration, it's very apparent that they just love giving. They loved being involved. It wasn't work for them, and it made them feel really good. And as every one of them spoke, Mrs. Kirkman, who is the advisor for CESA, she's the one that actually, you know, checks all the points and everything, and myself, the president, we were both saying aloud to all the students, gosh, we just hope that you can keep this going throughout your life. Now, why am I telling this story now? Because board appreciation is really CSIP grown up. Tonight, these five individuals are being recognized for going above and beyond. They're giving back to the community. They're not just checking boxes. They're demonstrating the courage on a daily basis to do something above and beyond. And for that, that's why we're here tonight, to celebrate your giving, volunteering, and being involved in your community. So, on behalf of the high school, everyone, all the teachers and the staff members, and especially the students, we thank you from the bottom of our heart. And every year we do try to find some type of unique gift that we know you're going to proudly demonstrate or show off your Senator Richards Pride, whether it's a pride pin that you all have, or pens, or plaques, or takeaway. So this year we want to do something a little bit different. And if you wore today, you probably sweat. But this weekend, you're definitely going to appreciate it. Nice, big, toasty, Senator Richards sweatshirt that I know you'll wear Sunday. It's going to be nice and cool. And I know you're going to wear your colors very, very proudly. So, Mr. Neely, which is Mr. Foster. Nice. The greater gift, though, tonight is to celebrate the very programs that the Board of Education supports. We've heard some great musicianship from our Clay Gilley students, so now it's our turn to high school. We're going to hear some beautiful singing, performing on our high school level. So our first performance group will be our vocal jazz choral group, led by Mr. Preston. So, high school students, please take the stage. Let's give them a round of applause for the school.
Hoping to make it back, but it's probably pleasant to be back 5 minutes.
Or right now. So, these students are the multifaceted babies, just like everything in the high school. So I'm just going to let them take over and just show you a little bit about what we've been doing for the last couple of years since before the start of the pandemic. Take it away, Alan.
Hi, everyone. We're the East High School Bat Band. And we play all of the high school football games. Share our team. My name is Alan Peterson, and I've been in for about 2 years now, and it's a very fun and exciting experience. I'd say for everyone involved. So, anyway, our first song is going to be Let's Go Band. I feel the sound go in there. So, here we go. One, two, one, two, three, yep.
Something that you may not have see every day from your seats is that trickle-down effect of what you do day in and day out and meeting after meeting. And your commitment to growth really does have a tremendous trickle-down effect with our buildings and our classrooms and our students. So tonight we're here to celebrate all of you and thank you for your commitment to growth. At the middle school specifically, your steadfastness and your consistent commitment to us as a school for growth has really led to great things and challenged our staff and myself and our candidacy for the IB program, and you'll be hearing more about that at a future meeting. But tonight we just really want to say thank you for supporting us in all of our endeavors and challenging us so that we can grow on the school. So tonight we will be presenting you with ORCID as a symbol of growth. And really thanking us and for thanking you for helping us grow. So to explain more about that, we have two familiar faces that will introduce themselves and explain more of our appreciation for you tonight.
Good evening. My name is Joshua. I am a sixth grader at San Marcos Middle School. And my dad is on the board of education.
Good evening. My name is Ryan Cassandra. I am a 7th grader at Santa Maria Middle School and my mom is on the board of education.
Tonight we are here to thank our parents and the rest of the members on the board of education for their dedication, hard work, and continued support. We know that serving on the board of education is tremendous volunteer work and big time commitment. We know that you do it for us and the rest of the students, so tonight we thank you for your service.
On behalf of Santa Maria's Middle School, we will be giving you beautiful orchids today. You picked orchids because although they are a beautiful plant, they do take careful care, attention, and care. Without this thoughtful hard work, the orchid won't flourish and won't thrive. We see the work of taking care of this orchid, similar to that we work on the Board of Education. Without your attention and care, our schools will flourish and thrive. Thank you for your education for all your hard work.
Say that I want to give you a gift in recognition of phase one completion of the capital project. You've made it through the first year. Some of you have never experienced it before. Some of you have a deeper understanding. But again, I would like to honor you with a very different type of gift. So please bear with me one moment.
Thank you,
Eric. The names are in
there. They are.
They are.
That's
great.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for supporting the Buildings and Grounds Department for your insight and for all your understanding during this last past year. Greatly appreciated. And with that, I'd like to turn the mic over to Stacey Helmsworth from the PTA.
Good evening. I would like to thank the Santa Marta's Board of Education, our global leaders, for devoting your time and supporting public education and serving our schools. First and foremost, trustees serve our children. You also represent our community and face complex and demanding challenges, yet few people fully understand the scope and far-reaching implications of your responsibilities. You all truly make a difference every day. Volunteering sometimes is a thankless job, so tonight I am honored to be able to give you the appreciation that you all deserve. So from Santa Marta's BTA, we would like to send our sincere thank yous, and please accept the mugs that are in front from us. Also, we'll be donating a book in each of your names to the high school library. Daryl, you are the darkest path. Josh, please. Lorianne, false prince. Annette, the iron triumph. And Robin, the house of the scorpion.
I want to take a minute to thank everybody for your appreciation. I think that the reason that we do this is for what we saw and see here tonight and what we see, you know, when we go to graduation and we go to the different events, and it's your achievement, you know, from Clayton Dewey Chorus to, as this Reggio Bates said, you know, growth, and you know, we do this to help you get where we want to go, where you can go, so that you can realize the maximum growth, the students can realize the maximum growth. It's not always easy. Tough decisions, you know, across the board from a financial perspective need to often be made, but I think that to tie back into what Melissa said about every decision, I think, on this board is, how can we grow? How will this impact our growth? What can we do to facilitate growth? And it's for the kids. So, you know, everything that we saw here was great. I know that I think about, you know, and I don't remember who said it tonight, but, you know, you look at what John's done. I know that I think about when I was growing up, you know, my parents, my mother saying to me, you can do anything. I don't know if that's true. She's here tonight. I believed her then. I don't know. Could have been just my mom. But I think that that's true of all of our kids. And, you know, when we sit in graduation and we see, you know, last year, how far, how much some of these kids have done, and we say, what more could they do? When we talk about IB, when we talk about, you know, adding science programs and things, that's what this is about, making sure that they all have all of those different opportunities. you know, an opportunity to do it in a nice way. Gary, you know, with the capital project and your work here, it's been great, but it's also extremely important that we have a proper environment, you know, for our kids to learn in and our staff to teach in, and I appreciate that the hats are Honeywell hats. So, in closing, I appreciate everybody being here tonight to appreciate us, but I really feel that seeing the fruits of kind of where we're trying to go is what we, or at least what I do this for, and I think, and I hope I speak on behalf of everybody else here. So thank you, and I give anybody else that wants to have anything to say an opportunity. Anybody else?
Thank you.
So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I invite everybody to now join us for a little bit of cake. We'll adjourn for 10 minutes and then we'll come back and finish our meeting.
Okay, Board of Education, we just wanted to give you an update with regards to phase one of the capital project. I've asked Ms. Mulvey and Mr. Gary Crowell to stay for a few minutes, not a long presentation, but just a brief presentation on where we're at. You already received your caps, and I believe it said congratulations to phase one, but we're not completely there yet. We're extremely close.
Is that are we substantially right? Complete?
So we are substantially.
I don't like using that word.
I would like that.
So
I would say we are.
There you go. You have the
tool. So we are very close to completing phase one of the capital project. Currently, we are the majority of our doors and lock improvements, hardware improvements on our doors, is complete.
When will they be done?
End of next week?
End of next week.
Like right now, like the majority of the classroom doors and the locks, they're doing, like tonight they're doing the middle school gym doors, high school gym doors will follow that. And, you know, this endeavor, it's great to have new equipment, and this endeavor is not just about the installation, but a total overall of our key system, which is a tremendous amount of work, not just on the vendor, but on our internal maintenance, which is really Gary and Bill, you know, organizing, creating all of the keys that come with the system and working with the vendor, hours and hours of work organizing. And then the support of the building administration has to kind of now deliver all these keys to the faculty and staff. So it is a responsibility that does take the entire team to implement. And, you know, we had some glitches along the way, but, you know, concerns about my key used to open all these doors, and now it only opens this door, but explaining to the teachers, the faculty, and the staff that these improvements were really aimed at school safety, security improvement. So we've come, you know, we've made a lot of progress in that arena.
It's actually hardened the system, the access, hardening of more security. So we've gone up a couple of clicks from where we were, and that's a great thing. Next phase two, when we do the security vestibule over here, and we harden even more the vestibule at the elementary campus in that small area, I think we're going to be in really good shape combining that with the Smart Schools Initiative PA system, which we hope will be coming once we get the approval funds for that. That's going to help us out. We've been actively pursuing and increasing our scope as far as cameras. So we're really, as far as a safety and security standpoint, really doing a great job. The doors, as Grant said, are going to have adhered glazing on it for the bullet resistance. We are upgrading, hopefully, our foam boards that we have now for lockout and lockdown on those doors. I'm going to get prices on clutch-driven shades instead, because it's easier, instead of having to put a piece of foam on in an event, anything happens, you just staff should not have to worry about how to align a piece of foam on the window when they have students in the classroom. They should be focusing on the student. So clutch-driven shade, you can just come over and pull the clutch and lower it down. It won't be one of those pull down or it'll pop up. So
is that in the budget, in the bond?
Well, I'm going to be submitting to the board during next year's budget, which we'll start working on soon, I'm sure, in the next couple of months, if we can't find the monies in this year's budget to do that.
Not part of the bond, though?
It wasn't originally part of the bond.
Yeah, most of the recommendations at this point in time are coming at the debriefing meetings following lockout drills, lockdown drills, and things of that nature. And that is one that came as a recommendation from the elementary staff, I believe. And, you know, if we do have it, the ability to do it this year, we will. But at this point, we're planning to put it in the budget for next year.
What the roof?
The roof is, we're going to make the second piece of phase one. That's, we are getting closer. As I'm sure when you drive by in the afternoon, they are up there working every day. You know, the interesting thing about, especially this phase of the roof, it's hard to see what they're doing on top. You know, kind of waiting for all those finishing touches, and those are the things that you can see. And they have, all these different work areas, and there are different places in all these different work areas. So the work, the detail, the finishing work is being done. They have provided us a timeline of completion. You know, we're a little, they've done that before.
Like October 8th,
So now they're saying at the end of the following week,
I spoke to Scott from Milcom Corporation earlier this evening. He called me, and I asked him when he was going to be demobilizing and finishing up. They should be done again by the end of next week. All of their equipment will be demobilized off the roofs over the next couple of days or so. And they, as they clean up, they're up there cleaning up a lot of the areas over at the elementary campus. They'll also have all of the fascia, all of the gutters and leaders installed. So by the end of next week, the process will be complete. This
process is complete. Like, the guys are gone, the work is done.
Complete by next. He's saying by next weekend. He's hoping to, by Halloween, right, 31st, he's hoping to be completely off-site with all of his equipment, all of his staging area in the back of the elementary campus that they have, and everything will be complete at that time.
Has Grillo signed off on, like, a lease?
No, so what has to happen?
Do the infrared testing that we had mentioned, I think, at the previous meeting, to ensure that in the water events that we did have, that there's no trapped moisture.
When is it going to happen?
I contacted the computer, which is a company, the engineering firm that works with John Grillo. I reached out to Nick from SCC today, and John has given us the okay to proceed with with that project. I've gotten the quotes. I just got them this evening, and I have them on my desk.
Who pays for that?
Submitting.
Who pays for that infrared test?
It comes out of the cabin.
Would we have otherwise done that if we didn't have the...
That's a question that I had as well, because considering the water breaches, it seems to be, like, the information that we've received, that it is a good practice, that it would be part of the process anyway, but if it did occur, that we've confirmed that if there was an issue and there was trapped water following these tests, that the roofing company would have to absorb the cost of that.
Is it for trapped water, or is it for...
It's really for the infrared testing, is to detect moisture that's sitting somewhere in between.
So is it to check the areas where there were leaks to see if they properly remediated, or is it to see if the roof is
smooth tight? Those areas that we've had the issues with are the areas that they would be primarily focusing on.
But it's an entire scan. They're going to scan the whole surface. And then not just the leak areas, because there could be something that's
the entire elementary campus, right. And they're doing the area that they worked on over here.
This was not part of your plan, though. If we asked you 4 months ago, you would not have said, we're going to do an infrared test of the roof, I don't think.
In some districts, they do that.
Well, in this district, it wasn't part of our...
No.
What's it going to cost?
Excuse me?
What's it going to cost?
$8,000.
Oh, okay.
So okay. That's
what whatever. It's a fight that will fight. It's smart. It's not $100,000.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, personally, if we were just doing the test because of the issues, it seems regardless of the outcome of the test, they should pay for it. But that's not the response at this time that we're getting from
$8,000 is not a good idea. We want to know what the deal is.
I'm not concerned with the areas that have exhibited the actual leak. I'm going to start with the ones.
Things that we haven't, is it possible that we haven't seen?
Minor exactly. Minor, it's going to sit on top.
Yes.
So we have, right. Just so you know, in the main hallway of the elementary campus by the office, down that whole area from room 1 to room 10 and the computer lab, those classrooms, all those ceilings are solid sheetrock between the roof and there. So we have no way of knowing on that roof where they've installed the new roof whether or not there is some type of a leak that may have occurred.
This will show that.
So that will show up. We can't ascertain whether or not that is happening right now. So it's in our best interest to do that. And again, if we find anything at all, any area that has moisture in it, the payment of that scanning falls on
well, and they'll fix the problem.
And they have
to. The scanning is not even there, really. It's grand. Okay, so we're at 2 weeks for the roof, a week and a half for the doors. Everybody's out, everybody's done. Phase one, complete. You'll then do the scan, and then we'll be deemed substantially complete, assuming the scan is good, and then we will pay, subject to the liquidated damages of $1,000 a day for 60 days being late.
The financial piece, I don't think at this point in time we're ready to say exactly the amount of money or damages or things of that nature. Mm. What I would say to you is right now we still have approximately, and I'm speaking off the cuff here, but approximately $500,000 to $600,000, Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, that we have not paid and that we've held at this point in time. But that has not been discussed in exact amounts.
Our leverage is that, right? Again, I'm going to come back to it. It's 2 months longer you guys are jerking around with this because of their delays. So,
like I said to you, with the term substantially complete, substantially complete from their perspective and what they believe is substantially complete and what we believe substantially complete to me, and this is what the attorney said, is that if you have a leaking roof, it's not substantially complete.
Yes,
they can give you any kind of machination they want in terms of percentages. But to me, and that's how...
Otherwise, why would we sign a contract? Why would we pay our lawyers to do this? You pay lawyers to do it, so...
But I think the issue is that knowing Scott and how he operates, and getting to know him, unfortunately, is that he would vehemently argue that we buy that date, August 26th. I'm just saying what the argument's going to be.
We're not going to roll over on that. We will not roll over.
We will fight that.
And I'm not saying we're not going to pay them. We, of course, will.
Right.
But I forgot we were holding a concession. But they breached the contract. We've had leaks after that. Right. Doors aren't in. Substantially complete, as I understand it, with doors would be. We've got all the doors in, but we have 5 locks in a punch list that Gary determined.
It's
a different thing.
Yeah. Isn't that still a time? They were still supposed to be done by the 20th.
No, different vendor.
But let me just make sure the boards are aware, okay?
Hold on, before we go there, you're telling me that we expected the doors to be done by November? I thought the whole thing, soup to nuts,
was
done.
What happened was the doors, because when we signed, when the contracts were signed, we had to go out. They didn't order anything, any of the doors after. So the doors were put into the queue right away after the contract was signed. By that time, the manufacturer was already in the process of manufacturing other doors for other projects, and we knew that there was going to be somewhat of a delay. Now, all of the hardware and key situation that we've installed, that was a simple part of that. And to actually... Renew and Sunrise, who were doing the doors, started their project after school started, and they're pretty much going to be done next week.
Okay.
It's a huge job ripping out all those old.
But no impact to us on a day-to-day basis.
No, and we knew they were going to start when school started and working outside the school hours. Plus, the final purchase order has to be signed by 3 of the people that are sitting in the room here tonight. So I will continue to update the Board of Education and updates, and you will be privy to anything and everything prior to us getting to that point right now. We are talking to council. We also are speaking to John Grello to make sure they all agree about if there's going to be a last payment, how much is in the last payment, what are our options,
and we'll certainly bring that to the board as well.
And then we'll figure out all our costs.
We'll bring it to the board in the exec session to talk about the loss.
Okay.
The loss costs.
And then, okay, and one other thought.
So what was stuff that was damaged?
The warranty sign-off, fixing the back, whatever needs to get fixed there with all that crap back there. Is the guy who broke his leg still on the job?
I think, you know, at this point in time, the answer is no. He's not here working.
Okay. Okay.
Just one thing that Scott, and I think as she mentions, the board mentions me this evening, is that he feels very badly, and Raina knows how he operates, but he feels very badly about what transpired over at the elementary school, especially in the K-Wing, with the multiple leaks at multiple times in that area that disrupted those two classrooms.
I think he was very apologetic.
He wants to extend an olive branch with respect to that and do something for the K-Wing. He wants to buy appliances or curriculums equipment or something. And he's the owner of the Milcom. And I said that, you know, I knew that I was going to be here tonight, and I said I would reach out to the board and the administration and let you know that, and then whatever you decide you want to do, we can reach out to him and say, okay, we appreciate that. If you wanted to do something, you could do this. It has no... And I made it clear to him that by him asking me this and speaking to me about this, that it in no way had anything to do with the work or anything that's going to transpire with our payments, because his original call to me was to try and massage me to go into Carroll to get the payments done. But I explained to him that we have a protocol.
Yep. I say let's get the work done.
Peter.
That's my
And that he was going to do that, it would no way reflect on how we dealt with, you know, his work and what was going on.
And Gary, I can't thank you enough. I know the amount of work and Raina that you have done overseeing phase one. It was well above and beyond what was expected, and the amount of time you put in. I know phone calls from me on Sundays and Saturdays, constant, much appreciated.
Great.
Appreciate
that.
Thank you very much.
Next section of the agenda, questions and comments. Marcus?
Yeah. Good evening.
Tonight's agenda only going to wait to the end of the general question.
Item number 12. Could you briefly review the scope of that contract?
That is essentially a contract to an amendment to cause the number of students in classes to be in line with the number of students that we have people taking because of the lab periods.
Correct. There would happen to be one particular teacher that actually took on another class, and the contract only allowed for a maximum of, I'm going to say approximately 150, but because they took another class, their class numbers went up to 175. We both knew, the CMTA as well as administration knew, that was going to happen. So this just basically protects the district and not having to pay an overture for all those extra students in that particular class. Does that make sense, Marcus?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions on tonight's agenda only?
No.
Okay. Motion to adopt the regular minutes of the meeting on October 5th, 2016. Motion second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. So I'd like to adopt or vote on 6 through 18 in one motion.
The
one that I have is 18. This is why I took home. Oh, because that one is put in.
Yep. 6 to 19.
19.
Oh, I know that. Okay. Yeah. 6 to 19. Motion to adopt agenda item 6 through 19 on the October 19, 2016 agenda. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Okay.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Marcus, do you have any questions on items not on tonight's agenda? So I'm going to make a motion to change the date of the next meeting from November 2nd to November 3rd. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing litigation, collective negotiations under the Taylor Law with the CMAA, and other matters disclosed of which would result in unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.